Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's what they called me in college, was the Bones.
Super excited, and I might just add this, I've missed Paul Hamilton and Mike Harrington, and that's the reason I'm back.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
A familiar face, the theme of yesterday's Lindy Ruff press conference. Us seeing Lindy, and then Lindy seeing Paul. Hey, Paul.
How are you?
Lindy, he's back because of you, Paul. We can thank you.
Yeah, he's, I guess he missed me.
You know, I heard you say with Chopin the Bulldog, it felt like he never left, and I would agree with that. The whole thing felt like I was just settling into, you know, so many Sabres press conferences gone by. Lindy's always been good at that stuff, right? I mean, fans are able to connect to teams and coaches through those press conferences. I think Don Granato made himself a lot of fans by the way he talked to the fans. And I think Lindy's always been really good at that, whether it's losing control sometimes or just showing what it means to him. I think he's always been good.
Yeah, I mean, I remember after a couple of games, one in Toronto was one example where he would just come out, lose his mind, and walk away. And that was that. You know, he had something to say, and he said it, and he's gone. Usually it was bad calls or something like that, but yeah.
So, Paul, the overall vibe of yesterday, Terry Pegula introduces Lindy Ruff. Kevin Adams makes a point to say it's not about nostalgia. And for Ruff, maybe the most interesting thing was that he was not immediately convinced it was a good idea for him.
Yeah, that was, I suppose, a little bit surprising that he didn't say yes right away. You know, he wanted to think about it. His original thought is, you know, he had just gotten fired by the Devils, and he goes, the Sabres had just fired a coach, and he just kind of was questioning it, and he says, why would I do this again? And then he said he sat there for a little while, and then he decided, well, why wouldn't I? You know, mm-hmm. He said, and he talked about being a risk taker, and he goes, yeah, there's risk here, but... he goes, you know, if there's no risk, there's no reward. So he decided, well, yeah, all right, let's do this again. I love the game, and, you know, let's do it for another whirl.
Last week, Paul, the buzzword was accountability. He got asked about that. And after hearing him, one, what he said about it, do you feel like he's ready to kind of get that message through to the players?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, and, you know, he talked about accountability and how it starts with yourself. He goes, you need to be accountable to yourself first. And he said, if you can't hold yourself accountable, you're not going to be able to hold other people accountable. And, you know, he goes, then, you know, you can hold each other accountable when it, you know, once you've held yourself accountable. And he goes, and that includes getting yourself ready. And he said, be ready for camp, be ready for games, be ready for, you know, everything. And just like, you know, one thing the Sabres weren't ready for last year were games. Very often they wouldn't start till the second period, you know, because, you know, they were probably the worst first period team I think I've ever seen here. I mean, it was just, you know, there were some nights it was 4-0 by the end of the first period. And you know, that's, you're talking about getting yourself ready. You have to have yourself ready by the time it's game time.
I thought it was interesting to hear him on how he's grown as a coach, and when he talked about even just like how hard he would ride guys when he referenced Vanek in the past. So your sense kind of on how, if he's different in that way, or maybe it's more, Paul, about picking your spots when it comes to stuff like that.
No, he's definitely different. I mean, he used to really go after Thomas Vanek and Derek Roy, but, you know, that's what coaching was back then. And he also would pick his spots. He knew they could handle it. I've talked to Thomas Vanek about this, and he's like, yeah, it's not fun, but he said, I could handle it. It was fine. You know, he said, I knew where he was coming from and that type of thing. So he used to ride Vanek hard and even embarrass him in front of teammates and things like that because he knew Vanek could handle it. And he knew that would get him motivated to play better. But he also said, you can't really do that with players anymore. I mean, you can't embarrass them in front of teammates and be screaming and yelling all the time, because, you know, these days, if all you do is yell and scream, it just becomes a voice. You know, I remember Phil Housley used to really, every day on the ice, he's screaming and yelling and this and that. And I remember commenting a few times, I mean, even myself, because I try to pay attention and practice, and it just became noise to me after a while. You know, it just, you lose the effect when you do, when that's all you do. So, you know, he said, you know, back in the day, coaches could do that, but he said not anymore.
Paul Hamilton's appearance brought to you by Railax Honda. Paul, all this adds up to when the rubber meets the road, right? Which is, the players say they want accountability and they want structure. And Lindy Ruff is here to give them that. And Ruff says the time to win is now. So, you know, after a couple years of, hey, they make mistakes, they're growing, they're learning, it feels like that whole message is going to be gone pretty much right away. They'll still be a young team, but they will have a coach that's been around the block and has coached young teams and will have expectations of them immediately.
Kevin Adams said that, you know, and when he did his press conference about over a week ago, that this young stuff is over. You know, we're a young team, but he goes, we're an experienced team. He goes, we're a young team that's played games, and he goes, that's all done with. That's over and done with, and it should be, because he's absolutely right. I mean, they have played, because a lot of them started, you know, when they were 18 or 19 years old in the NHL. So they do have some experience when it comes to that. And Lindy Ruff talked about yesterday that he feels like he's pretty lucky that he's getting this team now. He said, you know, he goes, because I feel they are on the cusp of breaking out and, you know, finding the other side, type of a thing. And he said, you know, I might be getting here just at the right time, be pretty lucky to be able to lead this team through.
What did you get in terms of a sense, Paul, of what type of style Ruff might want to play and whether that might be drastically different from what they've been?
I think what you saw in Jersey would be a little bit what you'll see with the Sabres. I mean, I still think they're going to want to skate and you know, hit to the offensive end. I think what you're going to see is more structure in the defensive end, where, you know, it's less running around, less thinking. It seems like they did a lot of thinking defensively, and if you have more structure, you probably will have fewer turnovers. Now, they did better defensively last year. You know, once January 1st rolled around, it was too late. But they did do better defensively some of that was Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. But Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was playing pretty well even before January 1st, but then he really kicked it in after that. And, you know, he would, you know, if his teammates made a mistake, he was there to back them up and make a big save for them when they needed a big save. But the turnovers were down quite a bit, too. They stopped turning the puck over, and, you know, they played better defensively, but there was still, you know, the players talked about wanting more structure in the game. And that's maybe why, you know, I always would say, you know, they don't do what Granato wants them to do. Well, because they felt there wasn't enough structure in what they do, and they didn't know exactly where they were supposed to be. And guys like Eric Johnson and Bo Byram never got it. I mean, they came from a man-on-man type of a situation in Colorado. They got here, and they were just nowhere. They couldn't figure it out. And so, you know, I think you'll see more of a structure defensively.
Paul Hamilton on the Lindy Ruff press conference from yesterday. Paul, there are already people speculating that Jeff Skinner will have problems with Lindy, right? That, like, this is going to be a battle. Because I guess what's the reputation Lindy brings with him? That he benched Vanek at times in his career and benched him for Game 7 against Carolina.
He benched a Finnegan off in playoff games,
yeah,
too.
Like, yeah, there are guys that he benched, but it's not like they were in the press box for months. So it'll be interesting to see if the Sabres do not move him or buy him out, how they feel they can use him, whether that's protected zone starts or whatever. I mean, I've got Lindy talking about the analytics team in New Jersey and how they used it as a tool. So that might be another way that Lindy might be different, is using the tools that analytics department might bring.
Yeah, and Granato did to a point too, but it sounds like, you know, Lindy Ruff is very much into that. And yeah, he's not afraid. As he said, the only thing he has is to take ice time away as a coach. That's his weapon, is he can take ice time away from people. And if Jeff Skinner doesn't play the way Lindy Ruff wants him to, it will be ice time away. And there is really no trade. I mean, he's got a no-trade clause in his contract. I don't think he's going to approve any trades that would come, and I don't think there are many teams that really would want him, especially at the price he commands. So if you're not going to have Jeff Skinner around, I think you're going to have to be in a buyout situation.
Yeah. I wonder, Paul, when I heard Lindy talk about the ice time, as taking ice time away is like one of the weapons that he can use, depth on this roster, and this will be kind of an Adams question, right, as the offseason goes on. You want to give Lindy the opportunity to do that, right? Like, you want guys in the depths of your roster that are capable of going up into the top six if they have to, even if it's only for a couple of periods because somebody's not performing up top. So I thought a little bit more about their bottom six and, you know, how much Adams might want to actually go improve that this offseason when I heard Lindy talk about, you know, the ice time stuff.
Well, we were talking about that, and I feel that way before Lindy Ruff even was talked about. I mean, they need to improve their bottom six drastically, and as far as I'm concerned, they've got seven forwards, and usually you have 13 to 14, so to me, they have six or seven openings. Now, when I say openings, that could be filled by Kulik or somebody in Rochester. So it's a combination, I think, looking on the outside and maybe looking on the inside too. But that's my opinion, is, you know, they have six or seven openings on the forward line, and they need to get grittier. They need to be harder to play against. They could use maybe a veteran guy to slide in their top six. They could use a guy who, even if he is on one of your bottom lines, but is good at taking faceoffs. That's one thing Lindy Ruff talked about, that one of the reasons his Devil team did really well 2 years ago was because, he goes, just little things add up. He goes, if you can win more faceoffs, he goes, now you have the puck more. So there's a little bit more time you have with the puck. He said, if you just get into a shooting lane one or two more times, he goes, there's 1% right there that you can add up. He goes, and those little 1%, he goes, when you do them, a bunch of them, they all start adding up, and they start adding up into wins. You know, the face-offs is something that they are horrible at, and what that does is it just means you have to now fight to go get the puck because you rarely have the puck because you rarely win the draw. So now the other team has the puck. Now you're on the defense, and now you have to find a way to get the puck back. And so it would be very helpful if they could find somebody that could win draws.
Were you surprised, Paul, to hear Kevin Adams say that he talked to double-digit candidates?
A little bit, since it was only 6 days. But he had said at his press conference, the first one, that he had folks on his phone already that wanted to talk. So he went right to work after the press conference and started talking to people. And that's not – he didn't bring in double-digit people to Buffalo. I mean, some of it, and maybe a lot of it, was done on the phone, interviews on the phone and that type of thing with different coaches. You know, as he said, he kept circling back to Lindy Ruff even after talking with other coaches.
Paul, did you see the save by Bobrovsky last night?
I did, yes. Yeah, he does that. It's not the first time, actually, I've seen him do something like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to call him Dominik Hasek because those are the types of saves Dominik Hasek would make on a regular basis. It's like he's facing the net, and next thing you know, he's making saves. But Bobrovsky was just, it's one of those scramble, stick your arm out or stick a leg out or stick your head out or whatever you do, and even if you're not facing the shooter, and see if you can make the save, and he certainly did.
How have you liked this opening round so far? I mean, we're just kind of fresh in it. Is there any team that's really impressed you, or, you know, I don't know who your pick is to win the whole thing. If it's, who do you have a pick? And has it changed based on, you know, the first couple of days?
I really like Dallas, but I haven't really loved them in the one playoff game that they played. But Winnipeg and Hellebuck is shocking to me. I mean, he is such a good goalie. And on a consistent basis, he's such a good goalie. And he's played two games now and hasn't been good in either one of them. I mean, the first one he gave up six, and they won because Colorado's goaltending is so bad. They wound up with seven, but they couldn't get away with it in the second game. So that, to me, is the biggest surprise that I've seen is that. I sit there and wonder about the Canucks now because Thatcher Demko was a big part of their team this year. He turned into an all-star goaltender and was really, really good, and now he's hurt, and we don't know how long he's going to be out. It doesn't sound great, but you never know. This is the playoffs, so you never know what you're hearing and how that type of thing. But I don't think the Canucks can get through with Casey DeSmith, so they need Thatcher Demko, and who knows if they're going to get him back.
Yeah. Are you having a similar reaction to what a lot of Sabre fans are, which is watching the Capitals and Islanders and going, man, the Sabres are not really much worse than these teams. They're just – the Islanders were obviously up big in the last game, Paul, but through – you know, that both those teams haven't won yet, and neither really look like they're all that much of a threat to the teams they're playing.
Yeah, a lot of people – remember last year they lost to Florida, and it was the difference of a 2-1 game at the end of the year. Florida beat Buffalo in the last week 2-1. Had the Sabres won that game 2-1, they would have been in the playoffs and Florida wouldn't. And look what Florida did. Everybody kept saying, well, maybe that could have been the Sabres. Florida got into the finals, you know. And that was after they got behind in the first round 3-1. And then Bobrovsky wound up in net. A goaltender that up to that point in his career had been horrendous in the playoffs, an excellent regular season goaltender, was horrendous in the playoffs, and he caught fire. Obviously, he's still there. And, you know, Florida never looked back until they wound up playing with Vegas in the finals. So, and I remember a lot of people saying last year, I wonder if that could have been the Sabres. I wonder if the Sabres could have got did that and caught fire and whatever. And who knows? You never know. Yeah, you just never know once a team gets in.
Thank you, Paul.
Take care, guys.
Paul Hamilton, his coverage of Lindy Ruff at our website, WGR550.com. To that point Paul makes, you know, you can set your clock to it, and I almost always want to disagree with it. The playoffs start, the Sabres have missed, and you'll get a deluge of, wow, these it's a good thing the Sabres didn't make it. They're so far away from these teams. That's every year that that happens. Although last year, maybe that might have been the case.
Right.
But every year, like, oh, wow, look at these teams. The Sabres are so far away. You remember the last time the Sabres made the playoffs?
Sure.
They were a 11? Seven. They were a seven seed.
Yeah.
And they were in overtime at home to win it in game six.
Right.
In fact, they had a lead in game six to win it as the seven seed.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole why make it if you're just going to get bounced in the first round? Yeah. Half the teams lose their opening round matchup. Half the teams lose every round.
Yep.
But I don't think it's got to be any sort of like, if they were in, could they be giving the Rangers a run for their money? Maybe not. Could they give...
I think they might be doing a better job than the Capitals are.
They might. They might. But the good teams are, you know, the goal is to be the Rangers or be a team like that. But, you know, the Lightning went out in the first round in a sweep to the Blue Jackets.
Right.
And with the Blue Jackets...
After having the greatest regular season of all time at the time.
And then the Bruins went out in the first round.
Right.
To an eight seed.
The two greatest regular seasons ever both lost in the first round.
Yeah. It's a brand new season. You got to get hot, play your best game. So, you know, get in and we'll see what happens.
Tonight is Leafs and Bruins. Have you been tracking at all what's happening with Willie Nylander in Toronto?
No.
He is, like, basically missing. Nobody knows what's happening. He has not played in either of the first two games. He's, like, their second-best player.
I knew he didn't play. When you said tracking what's happening, I just figured there was an injury.
There's a debate, I guess, of not even a debate, just nobody knows if it's injury or if it's disciplinary. Like, there's rumors and whatever about is something going on with the coach. He was at practice the morning of game two, and I think everybody thought, okay, well, I guess that means he's going to play, and then he wasn't on the ice for warm-ups, and it was, okay, he's not playing this game either. So game three, like, total mystery. Nobody knows. Is he injured? Is he being punished because something happened with the coach or something along those lines? I mean, he's one of their best players, and fans in Toronto are getting no explanation for why one of their best players is not playing in the playoffs.
Bob in Arkansas before the break. We'll switch back to football. Joe Marino coming up next. Hey, Bob.
Hey, boys. How you doing this morning? Happy draft eve, I guess I'll call it.
Very much so.
We'll find out tomorrow whether we're open in socks and underwear as a defensive tackle, or we're gonna get the nice new shiny remote control car.
I like you said socks and underwear, because socks and underwear are still important, and we do need socks and underwear. But I like it.
Yeah, we do, right? We do. However, you never love opening those bad boys. But yeah, man, I guess I was calling to say my favorite idea is Brandon Ayuk. I mean, I just think the sure thing, it's like, I get people talk about the cost, but it's going to be super expensive to try to find the best sure thing in round one, you know, to move up to get one of those top three. So I think, to me, it's like, man, I really would just say Ayuk, and we also need another one, you know?
Yeah.
So not having to give up so much to get another one. And, you know, funny story, I was out the other day, big box store here in North Little Rock, Arkansas, looking at jerseys, because I always like to see if they have a Josh Allen one, going through the rack. The last one on the rack, Brandon Ayuk.
Mm.
It's a sign, man. It's a sign.
All right.
I'm feeling it. We'll see.
Thanks, Bob. Ayuk. It's a good idea. Whoever makes that move, it's a good idea.
Are we going to be mad tomorrow during our draft party if someone else trades for him?
Depends what the Bills do. Depends what the price is and what the Bills do.
What if you don't know yet? The Steelers at 20. They're on the clock. They trade for Ayuk.
Then we do what we always do in sports, which is get furious in the moment. And then, like, oh, okay. It turned out to be all right. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. We talked to him on Wednesdays at 8. We moved him to 7:30 today. So we'll do that and get his final thoughts in before draft night tomorrow. So stay tuned.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Joe Marino next.
A couple years ago, there was a lot of talk about another receiver, Debo, and I said the same thing, but with B.A., you know, B.A., I've communicated on a couple occasions, on many occasions, our wish, and our wish is that he's here and a part of the Niners for the rest of his career. You know, we're working through that, and, you know, as such, I was a player once, and I never liked my business being out in the public, and so I'm going to respect that. I'm not going to speak for their side. I can say we're having good talks, and I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll focus on the draft here today.
That's John Lynch, GM of the 49ers, on Brandon Ayuk. B.A. Other famous B.A.s. There's B.A. Baracus, Brandon Ayuk, and I don't know. Is there
who? B.A. who?
Mr. T.
Oh.
In the A-Team. That was his name.
I only know him as Mr. T.
Well, yeah. Joe Marino on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Jeremy. That's a great question, or a good answer for a question you asked me over the summer. You think you had a radio show on it talking about Pee Wee Herman and if anyone actually knew his name. And there's another great answer for you, Mr. T. Who knew that his name wasn't actually Mr. T?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Well,
Herman's
B.A. Baracus was his character name in the A-Team, is what I'm saying. His actual name.
Oh, see, I didn't even realize that either until the second.
His actual name, that's a good question. I don't know that, but it's out there. We'll find it. Joe, good morning. It's the day before the draft, and, you know, we're getting down to it. Are you ready?
Yes, I am absolutely ready. I finished my last evaluation on Monday morning, and as soon as I was done, I'm like, get the draft here. Normally, I want as much time as possible because it's a lot of work to evaluate these players, and I appreciate all the time available to me to get it done. But when I was done evaluating players, I'm like, okay, can we just get to the start of this draft?
So the Bills have 10 picks. Joe Marino joining us on the Wester Hotline of the Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting podcast. We talk on Wednesdays, and 10 picks. Mission is what? Big picture, down to as small as you want to make it. The spots that Brandon Bean going in, you know, we don't know how the board will fall, but we do know maybe the Bills should have a couple of boxes to check. So box 1, 2, 3, what do you think they need to check?
Well, I think generally speaking, and I want to give credit to Chris Trapasso because he dropped this line on me last week. I had him on for an episode of Locked On Bills. And he said, you know, this draft is really about writing the next chapter of the Josh Allen era in Buffalo. You know, we've seen a mini roster reset in some areas, and I think it's time to consider this next nucleus and how potentially it can go further than the previous nucleus did with Josh Allen. And so I think as a central theme, that's what I'd be keeping in mind. Now, in terms of very specific boxes that I think they need to check, well, wide receiver, right? I think it's the most glaring hole on the team. I think they need to come away with probably two that you feel good about rostering and giving some targets to as rookies. I think that you want to come away from this draft with some help for your defensive line. I think that you have room for impact there, both on the inside and on the outside. And then for that third thing, I think they need to get a meaningful running back contributor. They have James Cook. They have Ty Johnson. That's a pretty good pair, but I think James Cook is a good player, but I think there's some missing components to his skill set that I think you need to have complemented. And I think Ty Johnson's a fine depth player, but I think rounding out that running back room is another should be priority for the Bills. So other things, obviously safety, depth on the interior offensive line, I get all that stuff, But those are the three biggest things on my mind for the Bills entering this draft.
Let's go in order. For wide receiver, we've talked about this class over and over, lots of different ways. How about from a standpoint of players, as you scout them, you might think might be the most ready to contribute? And, you know, if you want to take the big three out of it because of the big move it would take, that's fine. But, you know, as I'm looking at Leggett, Mitchell, McConkey, Worthy, Franklin, Coleman, Pearsall, like, who are the guys you think are well-suited to come into this offense and convince the coaching staff that they deserve to get on the field? Because you know how it works with rookies and this team. There's an idea out there. They don't go to rookies, but some rookies give them enough to show them they're worth it. So who are the names at receiver you think fit that mold?
Yeah, that's such an interesting layer to look at this, especially if you talk about the Bills as a team that could trade up for a wide receiver. And then, all right, well, what do the expectations become then? Which maybe we'll get to in a second. That's not what you asked me. I think if you, very specifically, the receiver that would be able to come in and do the things to be successful in this offense, I don't know, the name that comes to mind for me is Ricky Pearsall out of Florida. I think just as a route runner, inside, outside, his ability to get open, consistent hands, like those are the things that's going to inspire playing time. And I think he's played for a lot of different offensive systems throughout his time in college where he was at Arizona State and Florida. So through that lens, I don't know that he's going to be a Bill. I don't know that he makes sense for them at 28. Probably more of an early second-round player. The Bills don't really have an early second-round pick unless they trade back. But for the specific answer to that question, I think Ricky Pearsall, outside of those top three, is that guy that screams, okay, this guy can come in and do the things the Bills are going to want to get playing time.
How about guys, you know, you mentioned the trade-up scenario, and that wasn't the specific question, but throw the answer to what that might be for you.
Well, so that's where it gets interesting for me, because I do believe that it's well within the realm of possibilities that the Bills move up for a wide receiver. And I think Benjamin Albright kind of putting that out there or affirming that yesterday says a lot. I think I don't really remember many people that have really scooped the Bills with any level of consistency, particularly when it comes to the draft, but maybe Benjamin Albright has kind of been that guy. And so I'm very inclined to believe that, you know, there is some merit to the Bills moving up. It certainly matches their tendencies. And so what's interesting is if they do move up, and I don't know if they get into the top 10 for Odunze or if it's, you know, getting to like 12 with Denver for to get Brian Thomas Jr., you know, you're probably talking about giving up a second first-round pick to go get him, your 2025 first-round pick. And I'm sure that extra two is already burning a hole in Brandon Bean's pocket next year, right? He loves to trade. And so if they do that, which I'm sure you guys would probably be pretty excited about that, mm-hmm. What is the expectation come for that guy? Like, yeah. To me, this guy needs to be a problem for the NFL quickly. Like, you need to be able to provide a big-time answer and a matchup problem and a guy that is just an absolute nightmare for other teams to defend if you're going to have two first-round picks invested into this player while you're amid a roster reset and you want to have as much ammunition as possible to round out this roster. So, Bean, I think it's possible he goes and gets somebody, and if he does, I think the expectations for that player become very, very high.
What is Thomas for you on that? Like, if they moved up for him or even he falls to 28, is he I think earlier in the draft process I saw the word project attached to him, but I haven't seen that much lately. Is he someone you would expect just jumps in and produces if he ends up being their guy?
Well, Brian Thomas, I think, matches this offense and Josh Allen really well in some ways because if he does give you that – explosive dynamic down the field. His ability to run by people and get behind the secondary is really, really good. Plus, he does that with some size, and he tracks the ball well down the field. And then you kind of think about the fit with Josh Allen, and Josh Allen is an off-script quarterback, and Brian Thomas does well with that. Jaden Daniels, very much an off-script quarterback at LSU. So those components should be really, really strong. Where I think it's probably fair to invoke that there's some project D to Brian Thomas is that he needs to prove himself in the short to intermediate areas. You know, he wasn't asked to run a lot of different routes at LSU. Jaden Daniels is a great deep ball thrower, and that's just kind of how they used him, and it made sense. Well, for him to be a volume guy in the NFL, you got to be able to win at all three levels. And so you would feel like he's got the size and athleticism and flexibility to develop those skills, but I don't think you could watch his tape in college and feel like when he was asked to win in the short to intermediate areas that he was very successful. Look at, I would go back to watch Missouri and Alabama. Those are the two games where I think you can kind of see what I'm talking about, where that has to develop. So can he come in and produce? Yes, in some ways. Do I think he's an immediate, you know, target hog for this offense? I think that's probably more of a year two, year three thing.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting. Defensive line, you know, it's not said to be, Joe, nearly as deep as the receiver class, and that can lead you to take one in the first round if one of the right guys falls. If you're doing tiers of defensive linemen, who are the names you like at 28? You can make that edge or defensive tackle. Yeah. If they're there, it's the right tier to make the receiver pick wait.
Yeah, it's a good question, and I'm nervous that any of these players is going to be there. So, of course, the top four edge rushers, Leitu, Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, I think they trump wide receiver, maybe not every wide receiver. If Brian Thomas is there, you know, I think you would pick him at 28. I would pick Xavier Leggett at 28. Maybe you would lean into Chop Robinson over. I would understand that. And then the top two defensive tackles, Byron Murphy, I think he's probably going to the top 10. Look for Chicago to be in play for him. And then Johnny Newton out of Illinois, you know, does he get past Miami? I think that's probably the landing spot for him is, you know, they're looking to retool that defensive line. So if one of those defensive linemen were there, I think that moves the needle. But I am not very confident that any of them get to 28.
Yeah. Before we get to running back, on Leggett, we just learned that the Bills had a private meeting with him. Tom Pelissero reported that he had private meetings with a lot of teams, Leggett, so yeah. He's on a lot of radars. And I know you've mentioned him as your receiver for the South Carolina receiver. To the running backs, you know, it's almost like I'm getting your derby picks, right? I've got your one, your favorite, your middle, and your long shot. So, okay, running backs, fourth round, fifth round, guys that maybe fit the bill, some names for Bills fans to keep an eye on that would be good value in that spot. I mean, we could include the third round. The Bills just don't have a pick at this point. So, you know, day three running backs that might fit the bill.
Yeah, I think there's a couple that make a lot of sense to me. Audric Estime out of Notre Dame. What do you have, 29 touchdowns over the last two seasons? You're not drafting him for his explosive playmaking, but 5'11", 222 pounds. Very good downhill runner, runs behind his pads, patient. You know, I think you think about what this backfield needs. It is physicality, downhill ability, and pass pro. I think he checks all those boxes. And, of course, you love the short yardage. I mean, 29 touchdowns over the last 2 years, that says a lot. And over 4 yards after contact per rush. So that's kind of the mold of back, I think, that makes sense for the Bills. The other one I really like is Kamani Vidal out of Troy. A ton of production in college. And dense build, wins between the tackles. He can catch. He can pass block. I think those guys both make sense to me. There's other backs that I like, but what kept on being disappointing was like the ball security issues that some of these guys have. Like a Marshawn Lloyd out of USC just can't stop fumbling. You know, Braylon Allen. I was really underwhelmed with that tape out of Wisconsin. I thought he would be a nice prototype for the Bills, but you know, kind of switched to this more zone-oriented offense this past year, and I just thought he struggled. I think his stop-start and his ability to get width and cuts is just very elongated and slow, and he fumbles. So I just didn't love that tape. So even like Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, like explosive physical runner, but stop fumbling the ball, man. So that's a big deal for me with running backs. Like you can't fumble. And I thought some of the guys that I really wanted to like either had some missing links to their skill set or just had ball security issues.
I saw you had Trey Benson, the number one running back on your big board, which I think a lot of people do. And he was one of the Bills' top 30 visits. So that's different than what we just talked about, right? Like day three, like that's almost certainly round two, is it, you think?
Yeah, Trey Benson's a stud. I don't fall in love with running backs very often. And I want to be careful because I'm not like going to risk it all to go get Trey Benson, but I don't know if I'd be upset if he was the pick at 60. I just think he's such a good player. Size, 6'2", 16, ran 4.39. He's explosive. His acceleration is really big time. Kind of that Breece Hall type ability to accelerate. He catches the ball. Low mileage on the tires. I think he has just like a little over 300 career touches. Never fumbled the ball one time. I think he's got big play ability, but also like can grind out tough yards as well. I don't know how into the run game the Bills want to get, but if they're real serious about it, they wanted to have some thunder to go with the lightning of James Cook, Trey Benson's stud. And yeah, you're right. The Bills did have him in for a pre-draft visit. My number one back for sure.
All right. Very good. Joe Marino. Joe, thanks again. Enjoy the draft. And congratulations
yeah,
as well
congrats, man.
To you and the family welcoming your second child, your daughter. So yeah. Best of luck with the new workload and, you know, some post-draft downtime maybe.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We got a great support system here, so big shout out to my in-laws. They're amazing. And my wife, she's incredible as well. So able to allow me to do all this work.
Very good. Thanks, Joe. We'll talk after the draft.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting podcast as well. Good stuff in there. He still has Leggett wide receiver 4.
Yes. Yes,
he
does.
Sources, we made some...
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moves on our wide receiver big board in here. After getting bullied for not having Troy Franklin and Jalen Polk, I reached back out to the big board maker. I had meant to get Troy Franklin and did. And now Jalen Polk is on the big board as well, bringing our wide receiver big board to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15.
15.
15 wide receivers on this big board that we're bringing to our draft party at Resurgence.
They will end up with one of these 15 names.
Yes. Yes, they will.
Or we riot.
They will end up
or
with,
we riot.
With one of these 15 names, and we will pull the name off this wide receiver big board and just send it to Canton just to get ready. Just yes. Hold on to this.
Right. Right, we're going to have to figure out what to do with this after.
I don't know. We get it ready for next
year.
There's
got to be a right. There's got to be a Hall of Fame or a museum that's going to want it.
803-0550. If you'd like to join us. Sal at 8:30. His first mock draft is up at our website. No trades, just stick and pick. Will the Bills do at 28? Listen up at 8:30 or check our website, WGR550.com. Contest time. Got something to give away before we get back to our conversations. Bert Kreischer, tickets to see Bert Kreischer. Be caller 5 at 2214-WGR. To win a pair of tickets to Burt Kreischer's Fully Loaded Comedy Festival at Darien Lake Amphitheater June 23rd, courtesy of Live Nation. Tickets on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 5, 221-4WGR to win a pair of those tickets. When we return, more draft stuff, your Lindy calls if you want those. We prepare for Sal Capaccio's appearance at 8:30 to talk us through his first Bills mock draft. Draft's tomorrow. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.